Lutheran Radio UK presents Love Letters, a study on the Apostle Paul's Epistle to the Romans with Pastor Arno Bessel.
My name is Arno Bessel. I am pastor of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth. It is a pleasure to have you listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Welcome to Love Letters. We hope in a glorious future. The day will come when we and the whole creation of God will be released from suffering. Our bodies will be risen from the grave, and we will be given the inheritance of heaven. While we are on earth, eagerly hoping in a glorious future, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, and Christ gives us His victory in our struggles. Although affected by evil, nothing in the universe can separate us from the love of God. That's what we reflected on in our last study. Today we would like to concentrate on the theme, God's chosen people. Some challenging points will be raised concerning God's election of a certain nation and the fact that some people will be saved and others not. To start with, let us listen to the words written by the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Romans, chapter 9, verses 1 to 5.
I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ who is God over all, blessed for ever. Amen.
The original readers of Paul's letter to the Romans were Jews and Gentiles. The Jewish nation is often referred to as Israel. By Gentiles are meant all other people who are not Israelites. In chapters 9, 10, and 11 of his letter, Paul speaks especially about and to the nation of Israel. He starts saying, I'm speaking the truth. Paul's conscience provides testimony to his truthfulness, for he speaks as God's child in whom the Holy Spirit dwells. Paul identifies himself with the Israelite readers and reminds them that he is one of them, an Israelite as they are Israelites. Both have the same origin and share a common background. Paul feels great sorrow and unceasing anguish in his heart because a significant number of his fellow citizens have rejected God and have not lived up to the expectations of a chosen people of God. Paul's sorrow is so deep that if there was the possibility, he would be willing to be delivered over to the wrath of God for eternal destruction in order to spare his kinsmen from destruction. Paul recollects God's grace and goodness toward Israel. He calls to mind some crucial historical deeds God caused to Israel. God chose Abraham to start with him a nation. Following with Isaac, Jacob, and his 12 sons, the nation grew and multiplied. Among all other nations, God chose this nation which came to be known as Israel. He chose Israel over others, not because they were in any way better or superior. God chose Israel out of grace and love. This nation God adopted as His own, to belong to Him and to be His special people. With this nation God established covenants on the basis of the following terms: I'm your God, you are my people. To this nation God delivered in written form the law, including the Ten Commandments. To this nation God gave promises to make of them a great nation and to give them land. Most especially, God promised that from this nation the Messiah would be born. Since God is faithful, He fulfilled His promises and the Messiah, Jesus Christ, was in fact born from Israel. Considering God's mighty and gracious deeds to Israel, one would expect the Israelites to believe in God, to be faithful to God, and to live up as God's chosen people. However, it did not happen. What went wrong? Whose fault was it? Paul gives the answer in Romans chapter 9, verses 6 to 13.
But it is not as though the word of God has failed, for not all who are descended from Israel belong to Israel, and not all are children of Abraham because they are his offspring, but through Isaac shall your offspring be named. This means that it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as offspring. For this is what the promise said, about this time next year I will return and Sarah shall have a son. And not only so, but also when Rebekah had conceived children by one man, our forefather Isaac, though they were not yet born and had done nothing either good or bad, in order that God's purpose of election might continue, not because of works, but because of his call, she was told, the older will serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated.
God was extremely good and favored Israel in many ways, but the outcome was unsuccessful. Israel did not respond to God's love as it was expected. Whose fault was it? It was not God's fault, Paul says. The word of God did not fail. So if it wasn't God's fault, it must have been the people's fault. It was indeed. God remained faithful to his promises. He started to build his people with Abraham, followed by Abraham's son Isaac, then Isaac's son Jacob. Isaac and his wife Rebekah happened to have twin boys, Jacob and Esau. God had two options to choose from in order to continue building up his people. Why did he choose Jacob over Esau? We simply do not know. What we do know is that later in history, the relationship between both brothers was troublesome. Envy, exploitation, cheating, and enmity settled in between the brothers. What can be said is that God is sovereign. He chose Jacob over his brother out of grace in order to accomplish his divine purpose. The Apostle Paul draws a sharp line between Israel according to the physical descent and Israel according to faith. Simple biological descent from Abraham does not qualify necessarily someone as a child of God. What makes the difference is true faith in God. Although all Israelites descended from the same forefather Abraham, a clear distinction needed to be drawn between believers and unbelievers. That's what Paul has in mind when he says, it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as offspring. As far as we are concerned, what matters is not our ancestry or the religious background of our forefathers. In the end, what matters and what is decisive is true faith in Jesus Christ the Savior. We will be back after a short break. Please stay with us.
The value of Sunday school by those who attend Sunday school. Here's Gabriella, aged 11. I absolutely love Sunday school. It's both educational and fun. And you get to learn all that our Saviour Jesus did and does for us. In my congregation, the younger children listen to stories from the Bible and make arts and crafts based on the lessons. The older children read from the Bible and write down the key events. Then they talk about them with the teacher's guidance.
But don't take Gabriella's word for it. Bring your children to Sunday school and let them find out for themselves. Our Sunday schools are all about Jesus and to all God's children. Find out where your nearest Lutheran congregation is on lutheran.co.uk.
Since 1962, Westfield House in Cambridge has been preparing students with the knowledge, attitudes and skills necessary for the ministry of the Evangelical Lutheran Church and its proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As a centre of theological studies, it also seeks to serve the Lutheran Church, both in this country and overseas, by the promotion of Christian learning at all levels. Westfield House provides theological education within the framework of a confessional Lutheran perspective and offers resources that further the understanding of that perspective. Westfield House also offers the only significant Lutheran library in the country. Find out more about Westfield House on the internet at www.westfieldhouse.org.uk. Westfield House, the theological college of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England.
Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. We hope that you are enjoying our program because it's all about Christ and to all God's people.
Welcome back to Love Letters. You are listening to Lutheran Radio UK. I'm Arno Bessel, pastor of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth. We are reflecting on Paul's letter to the Romans. We have said that God chose Israel among all nations to be his people. However, the Israelites did not respond to God's love as expected. Many argued that being descendants of Abraham was enough. The Apostle Paul says that what in reality matters is true faith in Jesus Christ the Savior. The Apostle Paul continues developing this issue in Romans chapter 9, verses 14 to 18.
What shall we say then? Is there injustice on God's part? By no means. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So then it depends not on human will or exertion, but on God who has mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, For this very purpose I have raised you up, that I might show my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. So then he has mercy on whomever he wills, and he hardens whomever he wills.
The fact that God chose Jacob over his brother Esau to build up a special nation could lead to the argument that God had been unjust. Paul says, There was no injustice on God's part. By no means. Although we may not find answers to God's dealings which satisfy our human reasoning, one thing is certain. God is sovereign and free in his decisions. Paul points out two historical characters in the Old Testament, Moses and Pharaoh, with whom God dealt fairly. God is not bound to or controlled by man in any way. He is free to carry out his purpose in history, both when he judges and when he shows mercy and compassion. By the way, the only reason why any human being, including you and me, can stand before God is because of God's mercy and compassion. The Apostle Paul continues to reflect on God's sovereign will and his freedom in Romans chapter 9, verses 19 to 29.
You will say to me then, Why does he still find fault? For who can resist his will? But who are you, O man, to answer back to God? Will what is moulded say to its moulder, Why have you made me like this? Has the potter no right over the clay to make out of the same lump one vessel for honoured use and another for dishonourable use? What if God, desiring to show his wrath and to make known his power, has endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, in order to make known the riches of his glory for vessels of mercy, which he has prepared beforehand for glory, even us whom he has called, not from the Jews only, but also from the Gentiles? As indeed he says in Hosea, "Those who were not my people I will call my people, and her who was not beloved I will call beloved." And in the very place where it was said to them, "You are not my people," they will be called sons of the living God. And Isaiah cries out concerning Israel, "Though the number of sons of Israel be heard as the sand of the sea, only a remnant of them will be saved. For the Lord will carry out his sentence upon the earth fully and without delay." And as Isaiah predicted, if the Lord of the hosts had not left us offspring, we would have been like Sodom and become like Gomorrah.
Human reasoning raises questions and arguments like these. If God is sovereign, if he is free to make choices and to take decisions, how can anyone be held responsible for his or her actions? If God is sovereign, if he is free to make choices and to take decisions, then human beings are slaves in God's hand. They are fatally bound to God's dealings. No one can resist. Consequently, why should anybody be blamed? Paul gives answers to these questions. He says, "Who are you, O man, to answer back to God?" Human beings are in no position to put God on trial. The creature is in no position to dictate the will and the action of the Creator. The Apostle Paul takes as example a potter. The potter is free to do with the clay whatever he wishes. The clay is in no position to tell the potter what he shall do. The potter is free and sovereign. In a similar way, God has the right over people. He can do as he wishes and what he knows is right and best. It would be very arrogant on our part to act as though we could hold God accountable for his actions and blame him for our failures. The Creator is free to exercise his will and his right. In exercising his freedom, however, he does not act arbitrarily, but in patience, mercy, and compassion. There are plenty of examples in history of how God dealt patiently with the Israelites, many of whom disbelieved his word, were rebellious, and resisted God's will. God gave them time and opportunity for repentance. God gave warnings and counsel. However, many continued to reject the Lord. On a certain occasion when Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, he wept over the city. God had been extremely patient and gracious to the population of the city. God had called people to repentance and faith, but they did not listen. Eventually, they would perish in their unbelief. Again, on another occasion, Jesus grieved over the inhabitants of Jerusalem. He recollected how much time and opportunities God had given them to listen to his message proclaimed by the prophets, to believe in him and to live as a holy nation, but they refused to do so. These are the words of lamentation Jesus pronounced. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together, as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not." The overall picture shows that God's love shines bright amidst human rebellion and unbelief. The fact that some among the Israelites remained faithful and were saved is due to God's mercy. The fact that God called Gentiles, people from outside Israel, to faith is due to his mercy. The fact that God calls you and me to believe in Jesus Christ is due to His mercy. Let us respond to God's mercy with faith and live as His chosen people. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. My name is Arno Bessel. I'm pastor of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth. To find out more about the Lutheran Church in Plymouth, go to stpeterslutherans.co.uk. Welcome to our Sunday services at 11 a.m. and our Bible studies on Wednesday at 7 p.m. To find the nearest Lutheran congregation to you, go to lutheran.co.uk. Locate on the website directory, and there you will find a list of the congregations. We will be back at the same time next week to continue reflecting on love letters. We hope you will join us to study the theme, God's way of salvation is by faith. Should you have any questions or comments on our studies of love letters, please write an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Note also that the podcast of our studies is available for download. All you need to do is to go to lutheranradio.co.uk, find podcasts, and select Love Letters. Please stay tuned into Lutheran Radio UK and enjoy the next program. God bless and keep you.
If you like what you're listening to, then let your contacts know about Lutheran Radio UK. Use the Spread the Word function on our website, lutheranradio.co.uk, and tell your friends on Facebook and Twitter. Alternatively, you can write the emails of your contacts in the Tell a Friend field at the bottom of our main page, and we'll send them a personalized invitation to listen. Help us to proclaim the good news of Christ by telling others about Lutheran Radio UK. And don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter, and we will keep you right up to date about our programs.